plan. I know it's been a long time. It's been about 2 months. But we've had a lot of stuff going on. Recently, I've been in the middle of moving. If you follow me on Facebook, you've known that. It's been crazy to fit it in between all the other things that I do. Move a little here, move a little there, but it's really coming together. I'll get there someday. Living out of boxes right now, and it's not fun, but that's what happens when you own enough clothes that you don't need to wash any for a year. Get rid of the clothes. I do. I have too many clothes.
I feel that way now. When I work at the track, I have to wear a uniform. Mm-hmm. So the only time I have to wear jeans and a shirt is Monday and Tuesdays.
Right.
So I don't have to do laundry.
If you've got 10 pairs of jeans, you got 5 weeks before you got to do laundry.
That's right.
Yeah, but anyway, so we had that. I recently had Noah's birthday last weekend, had a lot of fun with that. And this weekend we're going to Philadelphia, going to do a lot of cool stuff, see all the Liberty stuff down there, Independence Hall, Ben Franklin's house, and we're going to go see the Eastern State Penitentiary. So
you're
going
to go to
fun.
Hershey at all, or is that not
no,
too
I think
far away?
I think we're going to be chock full.
Oh, yeah.
Our schedule is just going to be, we get there, we got to do this, we have 2 hours to do this, we got to go there, we got to eat, and we got
to. So you only have Saturday and Sunday?
We only have Saturday.
Oh, Saturday.
And we're leaving at like 5 a.m.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And we're going to go do this whole crazy day thing, and then leave. And probably get back around midnight.
I don't know how you do it.
I don't want to stay in Philly.
You don't want to stay in Philly?
I don't want to stay in Philly.
Well, you could stay outside, but I mean,
I don't want to deal with staying somewhere.
All right.
I just drive back. I like to sleep in my own bed.
Find a camper. Yeah, I know what you mean, but. Well, pack it in.
Yep. So we'll just pack it in. We'll get it done. It'll be good. We did the city in one day. Tiring, but we did it.
Yeah
so we'll make it work.
All right. If anybody can, you can, Shannon. Yeah, after okay. Drilling holes in rocks, you can do it.
After drilling holes in rocks. Yeah. So besides that, just trying to keep the negativity out of my life. There's been a lot of that thrown at me recently.
Really?
Craziness. People are so negative now. It's I just don't know how you can be so unhappy like that. Like, it's hard. You try not to like let it get to you, but sometimes it like
strangles
in
you
a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you're gonna be like no. So anyway,
it's certainly a lot different than when I was growing up. It didn't seem it was so stressful trying to be nice to people,
right?
And today it's just very hard to be nice to people because they don't react that same way back to you, and it just makes you feel funny.
Yeah, I was leaving for work one day, and Rothbard snuck out between my leg. I had the door open just a little bit, and he snuck out. And we're in downtown Glens Falls. He runs down the down the street, around the corner. I'm chasing after him. Rothbard, get back here! And he's barking at this guy with two other dogs, and he's yelling profanities at me, and they make leash laws for a reason.
Oh, geez.
And I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, he ran out of the house. I wouldn't I wouldn't have him roaming around Glens Falls.
Oh, yeah.
Off a leash. I'm not stupid. And he's just screaming the same thing at me. They make leash laws, blah, blah, blah. They make leash laws. And I'm like, you know what? F you. Flipped him off, grabbed my dog, and walked away.
I would have said, didn't you read the paper this morning? They eliminated the leash laws.
So, come to find out, he's my neighbor, like, the next house down. So.
Oh, well, that's good.
So, we got this ongoing thing now. But anyway, just like, how miserable do you have to be? Like, you think I'm that stupid? But anyway, so we got some stuff to talk about. I haven't been here in a while. We haven't been here in a while. We've missed a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
We just haven't been tuned in. But I got some pretty cool things here for you. First up, we have the progressives and libertarians team up to deregulate airports. That is a headline out of like some fantasy novel. you would never think to see in a million years. So this is good. This is really, really good. And I got this from Reason magazine. And I just want to go over it a little bit, what they're planning on doing. So I'm going to read a little bit of this. When did they post this? When did they post it? They posted it on the 19th. So they said this week, so last week, libertarian-leaning Representative Thomas Massey, and progressive Representative Earl Blumenauer, Earl B. Introduced a bill that would cut federal spending on airports in exchange for letting those airports raise the fees they charge passengers. All right. So these fees, known as passenger facility charges, PFCs, can be used to finance the expansion of passenger terminals, something that federal government's main airport grant program doesn't pay for, allowing airports to raise more money for terminal expansion. The thinking goes, we'll let more airlines offer more flights, raising service levels and lowering ticket prices. Okay. Let me get through this next paragraph and then I'll explain it a little because it's a lot to wrap your head around. So since 2000, the maximum PFC an airport can charge has been capped at $450 per boarding, the purchasing power of which has been whittled away by inflation. The Airports Council International North America, a trade group, estimated in 2017 that the country's airports will need $100 billion in infrastructure improvements over a five-year period. Massey and Earl's bill will help airports fund those improvements by lifting the PFC cap. So there's this charge that airports... charge customers. It's the government put a ceiling on it at $4.50. Mm-hmm. They can't charge any more than that. So they're kind of limited because those PFCs that they charge are what go towards expansion and improvement in the infrastructure of the airport. So they're capped at that. So they really don't have room to raise more money to build these airports bigger and better, to get more services there, which would make more business, which would ultimately lower the ticket prices for people. So Massey and Earl, they want to eliminate this cap, the ceiling, so that way airports can charge, say, a higher amount so they can get more money, so they don't have to go get federal funding, so that way the government doesn't have to pay for stuff. They don't
so they wouldn't put an additional ceiling on. They would just let them charge whatever they want. Right.
And so this is what would happen. If they can charge whatever they want, it's like a service fee, which is fair. You choose to go there. You can go somewhere else that has a cheaper service fee, whatever. So there's a service fee, and it's like an investment, kind of. If you like this airport, you like going there, you're going to invest in it with that service fee. Ultimately, they're going to get enough money to open up more gates.
Mm-hmm.
Having more gates open is going to be able to allow cheaper flight airlines come in or have more gates. There's going to be more options, more competition. Ticket prices are going to go down because you're going to have so many more gates and places that people can have planes to board. And it's so, not surprisingly, the bigger airlines are fighting this. They're the ones that got the government to put the cap in place because they don't want the cheaper competition to have more gates.
Sure.
So they're the ones who are against lifting this cap, the big business. They're the ones who want the government involved to cap it. Because they don't want the competition, the ticket prices going down. They want to control that. So this bill would get rid of that and get government funding and regulation out of the airport system, and just ultimately make it a lot better of an experience for flyers.
Well, you know, Albany Airport's a good airport. You know, I mean, it's international.
I'm not familiar with airports.
Okay. Well, Albany International is a nice airport, and they just got a new airlines. I forget the name of it, but a friend of mine I was talking to last week has a condo down in Florida, and he was going down for 2 weeks, and he said this new airlines, it was $58 one way. I mean, normally it's more expensive to fly down like that, but this new airline comes in, so they'll probably cause a price war, hopefully, between the other airlines.
Yeah, and that's what competition does.
Right.
And that's why I think a really good idea. Take that cap off to allow for just the market to play with the competition and the ticket prices and everything like that. And it may seem like, you know, they can charge whatever they want. Maybe they're going to take advantage of you, but that's not what the airport wants to do.
Right.
They want to be able to get enough money to make it a better experience, so ultimately you pay less money.
Mm-hmm.
So, really, it's not in their best interest to charge you left and right. It's in their best interest to give you the best service possible at the best price.
And to get more people flying.
Because you can take your business anywhere you want. You can go to a different airport if you want to. So it's in their best interest to give you the best, cheapest experience. So it's the bigger companies that are against lifting that cap and that are all for the government regulation, they're the ones that people should really be concerned about.
Right.
Not the airport themselves. They're not trying to rip you off. It's the bigger airlines that are afraid of the cheaper competition trying to get government in the way to make sure that there is no room for competition. And they make it sound like the airports themselves are trying to take advantage of you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this whole mind game that they got going on with the people. But if you really just think about basic economics, it doesn't make sense that the airport would try to take advantage of you like that.
Right.
So I think this is great. I guess they tried to do this. When did they try to do this? They tried to do this sometime before, and they didn't have enough. They tried to do it in 2017 with Peter DeFazio,
okay.
But they didn't get enough support.
Support.
But now DeFazio is chairman of the House Transportation Committee, so Massey thinks that this bill has a better chance of getting put through.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be really good if it does, because then it just shows that deregulation is the best option for
free market.
For free market, private businesses, stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Boy, I know one person is going to be mad at them, ADC, because they're not eliminating air travel. They're going to make it easier for more people to fly, so she'll be all upset. Yes.
You mean AOC?
AOC, yeah.
ADC, yeah. And also, it's going to cut out a lot of the government spending. The bill would cut out government funding for AIP grants, which is $3.3 billion. So it would cut that by $400 million a year. So that's good. That's a good way to cut government spending.
It sure is.
Good thinking. So I'm very excited about that. I saw that and I was like, oh, some positivity in the news. That's awesome. We have, I got like two positive things here and one not so positive. I'm excited that they're actually working together on this. And we'll see how it goes.
That's excellent. Yeah.
Another positive thing. I have a theme today. Positivity.
Because
I'm trying to wash away all the negativity peeps have been throwing at me. So we are trying to stay positive. We'll get a little negative at the end, but Husa.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we'll leave this place. You'll start beating me up.
Okay, so you know how Trump set up that First Step Act for prison reform?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get people that are in prison for stupid reasons out, or that have been on good behavior that just really don't belong there. You know, our prisons are overcrowded. Criminal justice reform is long overdue for reform. So he put this thing in place, and I have some statistics here that are really, really nice about some good things that it's done so far, which is really good. And it is, by its name, this is like the first step to criminal justice reform. And you can hate Trump, like Trump, whatever you think about Trump. I'm indifferent about him. Mm-hmm. I think there have been a lot worse. There have been some better. They're like, he's kind of just another president, to me at least.
Well, I think he's a different kind of president because he says what he
he's
thinks.
Definitely different, but yeah. Like as far as policy,
right,
like he's done some things I don't agree with, a few things like military wise that I really just do not support, but you can't deny that he has done a few things also that are really, really good. This First Step Act. So let's pull out some things from this. They finally have some numbers about the good that this is doing. And, good news on the criminal. This is from Reason also. Sorry, guys. Should really cite my sources better to you. From the 19th as well. So, good news on the criminal justice reform. As the First Step Act of 2018 frees thousands more from federal prisons, which also means less taxpayer money going to these thousands of people in prisons. So the Department of Justice has announced some hard numbers showing who is benefiting from the federal sentencing reform bill. Some figures worth noting are more than 3,100 federal prisoners will be released due to the increase in good time credits that inmates can earn as part of the act. So I guess they have these good time credits where, you know, they do what they're supposed to do, they're cooperating or whatever. The First Step Act opens that up to more people and makes it easier to earn these good time credits and makes it the process a little bit quicker.
Sure.
And so it says 3,100 people are going to be released due to the increase in the credits that they can get. And that's awesome. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what the figure is about how much money we spend per prisoner, but multiply that by 3,000, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I can imagine. I mean, sending a kid to school, to public school, is like, what, $20,000 a child?
A child, yeah.
So I can only imagine what prison is. Nearly 1,700 federal prisoners have had their sentences retroactively reduced by a part of the law that decreases the disparity in sentencing between those convicted of crack cocaine crimes and those convicted of powder cocaine crimes. So, drug crimes, nonviolent crimes, nonviolent people should not be behind bars.
Mm-hmm.
This has so far reduced sentences for 1,700 people convicted of nonviolent drug crimes. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And these are all going to be really positive changes, too. Just, I don't know how people morally think kidnapping someone and putting them behind bars and using them as slaves, technically, is the answer to a nonviolent crime.
Yeah, nonviolent, I mean, like, should be. I got some figures for you.
Oh, okay.
$31,000 average per year.
per prisoner?
Per prisoner. And in some states, it's $60,000 per year per prisoner. So that's a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah, that's more than sending your kid to public school in New York. Right. So these are big numbers here. So it's, this isn't, like I said, this is like, it's exactly what it says it is. It's the first step. This isn't ultimately what I would like out of criminal justice reform, but you got to start somewhere. And I'm happy with where we're starting and that we're starting to talk about it. And hopefully we continue going into more reformation of the criminal justice system. But this definitely is a good start. I know I've been seeing a lot of talk about certain states like expunging marijuana crimes and stuff like that because we're on our way to the federal legalization. New York decriminalized it. You can still get fined or something for having it, but it's not criminal anymore. I'm not sure how that really works.
I think possession is an offense, I think, but if you're using it at home or, you know, in a house or apartment and that, it's not illegal.
Yeah.
But I think it's like alcohol. If you have an open container in your car, you know, they can they can fine you.
Right.
So that's...
There's a... We were just talking about somebody. There's this guy... Maj, I can't think of his last name. He's a libertarian candidate in, I think, somewhere in Pennsylvania. He's part of the Black Guns Matter, and about how he's really all about how, like, banning guns is... another way to control the people. He's really, really smart. But anyway, he is all for the legalization of marijuana. But like, he did something the other day where on Instagram or something like that, he was smoking while driving. And I was just like, no, why would you do that? If you're an advocate for this, you can't be doing what everyone that's not an advocate is going to say is going to happen. Like, drinking and driving's not okay. Why should using any kind of substance in driving be okay?
Right.
Just because it doesn't impair you as much as alcohol doesn't mean anything. You're still under the influence of something, and your brain is not working the same. So if you're for advocating for legalization, you should not be advocating for using and driving, because the people who are not for legalization are going to say, well, they're all going to be driving high.
Right.
Okay, well, we have to tell them you're not supposed to.
Well, yeah.
So if you're advocating for legalization, you can't be out there smoking and driving.
Right. I mean, the same penalty for DWI.
Especially since he's running for an office that's going to come back to haunt him, because he has a really good chance at winning, too. And if he wins and say... It's just a hypothetical. He ends up running for, like, higher office or something, like Congress or president someday. I don't know. Like, that's going to come back to get him sometime. And I know they say, a lot of people are like, oh, be careful what you post on social media. You don't really have to. But if you are a person of influence or running for some type of office, you really do have to.
Oh, yeah.
If you're just Joe Schmo or, like, somebody who just lives your life day to day, you're not really into anything big like that. No, you don't really.
Well, look how far they go back now on some of these candidates, 35, 40 years when they were in high school.
So,
and
like, with the game that society's playing with people in office, you really got to be careful with things like that. And for somebody who is that smart and who is doing so well, that might be detrimental to his plan.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see that happen, because he has a lot of good things to say, a lot of good things he wants to do. Was he in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, but I didn't get the spelling of his name. Oh, I just looked. Yeah.
Something. I follow him on Instagram.
You know, not just talking about libertarian candidates, but I think all candidates, they should be given kind of a grace period when they're in high school and college. It shouldn't affect their life when they're 50 and 60 years old. You know, I mean, a lot of people do things in high school and college that, you know, I mean.
Unless you're Epstein.
Yeah, right.
What you did 20 years ago is going to affect you now.
But you know what I mean. It's like they use it as derogatory, and that was a life when they didn't have responsibility on anything.
Right,
you're
right.
A kid, you know. So you
I
know,
just
it's
hope it doesn't come back and to hurt him. It wasn't
not.
Smart.
No, I know.
Because he is running now.
Right.
So.
We'll see.
We'll see. All right. So back to criminal justice reform. So. The Justice Department has approved 51 compassionate releases, or compassionate release sentence reduction requests for elderly, sick, or disabled prisoners. This is an increase over 2018, where only 34 were approved. The First Step Act gave prisoners an increased access to this option, so more people are able to like apply for this compassion release, which is good. I mean. People are losing their freedom behind mm-hmm. bars. These are people that shouldn't be there, that this act is trying to help. That's awesome. More people have been given access to all these things, more avenues to get out quicker, to get out easier. It's great. It really is good. All right. There's one downside. That I don't really care for. They're going to give $75 million per fiscal year towards prison education training, education and training and stuff. I'm not for giving the prisons more money.
Mm-hmm.
So I could care less about that.
Right.
But anyway. What does it say? So... Every day of freedom is important. FAM, a National Criminal Justice Reform Organization, had said that the Good Time Credit will benefit more than 150,000 people in federal prison today and many more going forward. That is insane. That's a big number of people. Times that by your 30,000.
Yeah.
We're happy for the families who get to welcome home their loved ones a few weeks or months early. If these types of positive reform outcomes that prompted Reason reporter C.J. Ciaramella to declare that criminal justice is having a long overdue moment in our special good bad news issue of Reason on newsstands right now. There's a bunch of nothingness at the end. But yes, this is very positive. Great that this is a story that's out there. It's great that we're working on criminal justice reform. I can't get over thinking about 150,000 people times 30,000 a year. The numbers in my head.
All right, 100,000.
Oh, we're going to do math.
We're going to do math.
I'm an English major, but we're going to do math. Yeah, I mean... Criminal justice system is so messed up, it tears families apart.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reason why people are stuck in poverty. It's just a fact that there's more drug use in impoverished families, and the war on drugs is there to break families up and keep people in prison and keep the broken family on a welfare cycle dependent on the government. And so criminal justice reform is only going to help break that cycle and get people off government assistance and put families back together. Because that's what our society really needs, is just families not to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you got for now?
100,000 for what, times what?
150,000.
115,000. All right,
150,000.
150.
Times 30,000.
Times 30,000. Equals Wow, $4.5 billion.
Yeah, so that's what we're spending a year on, just 150,000 people. They're saying that this First Step Act is going to help that many plus more to come. Mm. And the amount of money we spend on having people in prison is just astronomical. Mm-hmm. When you think about it. And nobody seems to think about it either. It's crazy. Speaking of prisons, I said we're going to be seeing the Eastern State Penitentiary. That'll be cool.
Yeah. You are?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What are you going to walk in through and say hi to the guys?
No, it's abandoned.
Oh, like it is?
It's a museum now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I was thinking, what are you going to a prison for?
Yeah. You know? Let's just take my child.
Walk through and say, hey, guys, take selfies, you know.
No, we're going to go see Al Capone's cell. And it's a neat part of history, I guess. I don't know. It's there. We'll go see it. Yeah. It's an experience. All right. So last thing I've got here, something a little controversial between Rick and I. We'll get through it. The House has passed a $15 minimum wage bill. Okay. So let's get into this. There's one part in here that... there's one part of this article that is a little infuriating, just because I tell you this doesn't make sense. We'll get there though. We'll get.
Ooh. That was. Okay.
Wrong button.
Wrong one.
Okay. So also, I'm sorry to any of the live viewers. My service is really spotty in here, and so my live video keeps like turning off and coming back on and turning off and coming back on. So they're getting like half the story, which means you're going to have to go listen to the link.
That's right.
You're going to have to go download it and listen to it later. Sorry. Not sorry. Anyway, so... When was this posted? It's from Reason again. Reason had a lot of good stuff today. This was posted also on the 19th. Okay. We see you. So anyway, today we wake up for a day of jubilation. I don't like that word.
Jubilation?
Jubilation. It's a
shame. Jubilation.
Jubilation? Jubilation. Jubilation?
Jubilation.
It's a weird word. Anyway, because of the sense of fairness this legislation